Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Wednesday night. It is 11:30 on the East Coast. And my guest tonight, here on this episode of Matt Chat, is blogger and podcaster, if my computer will.
The verb will is usually defined as am, is, are, etc.
Is Chris Pinheiro. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for being on. I don't know if you could hear that in the background. I said the C word and my Alexa decided to talk. So, first of all, like I said, welcome to the show. And when did you start watching professional wrestling?
Wow, I started watching with my dad when I was little. I remember a little bit of Earthquake versus Hogan. But I really remember the 92 Royal Rumble. And I think that's when it all started for me.
Okay, so you're a little bit younger than me. I started watching in the mid-80s, so I remember Hulk Hogan's very first WWF title win. So that's my first real vivid memory of wrestling.
So, I don't want to age you, but 2 months before I was born.
Okay, yeah. So what really drew you into professional wrestling?
I love the characters, man. I love, of course, back then, you know, you had the Nature Boy, and you had a Matador, and you had a Dragon, and a Macho Man, and just the fact that these people were so over the top, and the stories were so over the top, and just everything was larger than life. From the very beginning, it caught my interest that, you know, these guys were part athlete, part actor, part, you know, carnival worker. And I just thought, like, here are these people that they're acting day in and day out with these characters, and they're, you know, beating each other up every night. And of course, back then, I, like a lot of people, thought it was the real deal. You know, it was a sport. And just the fact that, you know, you had a guy whose nickname was Earthquake, and a guy who, you know, would bring a snake to the ring and let it run wild on people. And it just made me go, I want to see what happens next. And wanting to see what happens next turns into, you know, 20, 30 years of just enjoying anything and everything that they throw out for me, whether it's, you know, The Rock or Stone Cold or, you know, even Owen Hart, who I remember as a kid from a tag team called High Energy, with the Birdman, another great colorful nickname. And just everything turned up to 11, which just made me want to see more and more.
You mentioned Coco Beware, the Birdman. I actually met him at a county fair show back in 2004. He's really, really short.
Yeah. I was just reading a thing about him the other day. I guess I met him when I was a kid too, but I don't have any pictures or memory of it. But yeah, I've heard he's short but stocky, and Jim Cornette was just talking about him and talking about how his legs caused him to jump like crazy heights, which I just remember he would always fly. It was so cool.
Yeah. So, okay, two-part question. Who was your first favorite wrestler?
Ooh. First favorite wrestler was either Owen Hart or Jake Roberts. I don't remember which one I liked first.
And
I like
who is your favorite?
I love the snake.
Yeah, and who is your favorite current wrestler?
Favorite current wrestler? I actually just got to meet her, Becky Lynch. Because now
yeah, I saw your pictures on Twitter. I'm very jealous.
I had a Mark moment. I had a very Mark moment. But no, since I have two daughters of my own, and I see how they look up to her, and just everything she does for her fans, and everything she does in the ring, out of the ring, it's real easy to be a Becky Lynch fan.
Okay, and I have to be a guy now. Is she as pretty in person?
If you can imagine,
I think
she's prettier in person.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know how it's possible. And a fellow podcaster from our group, the Turnbuckle Topics group, asked me a very important question. Did she smell nice when I hugged her? And yeah, absolutely. She had already been there for like an hour and a half. And I mean, gorgeous as all get out, and great hugger, great person. So, and for life.
Yeah, she is one of my she's my favorite current female superstar. Although she is not on my list of female wrestler crushes. But she is definitely my favorite female superstar right now. I just think her momentum is crazy.
Absolutely.
And the way it came naturally is just awesome to see.
It's old school. It's old school. Fans get behind you, and the old McMahon saying, they light the rocket ship under your butt.
Exactly. What is the, in your opinion, what is the best match you've ever seen?
I knew that question was coming, and my answer changes week to week depending on what kind of mood I'm in. But I do have one that I'm kind of, or I guess it's two that I'm kind of partial to because I was there in person. WrestleMania 2000, the first WrestleMania I've ever attended in my home state. And you have the triple threat double title match between Angle, Benoit, and Jericho. Two falls, two titles. And then they follow that up later in the night with the triple threat ladder match. And, I'm getting chills now as I talk about it. But I remember sitting in the stands way up in the nosebleeds because all I could afford is, 16-year-old me. And I just remember sitting there getting chills going, yeah, this is what pro wrestling should look like. And I still to this day will go back sometimes and watch it and go, yeah, I was there for that.
Oh. Yeah, the only pay-per-view I've ever been to was the very first Cyber Sunday. Happened to be in Cincinnati. And me and a group of my friends went, got 13th row on the floor, and just for me personally, I don't think I'll ever do floor again because I'm short and it's difficult for me to see around people. And unfortunately, the person who sat in front of me was about 6'4".
Oh.
And
yeah,
I'm...
I remember having that problem at a... I think it was a SmackDown taping near my hometown, and brought my daughter, who was 9 at the time. The guy in front of us had to be 6 foot plus. The nicest security guard in the world was just like, does she want to come stand over here in the aisle and watch the show? Made her night.
Oh, I bet it did. I went to a SmackDown taping back in 2013, I guess it was. It was right at the height of the Shield and the Wyatt family when they were just really hitting their stride. And where we were sitting, we thought we had arranged it so that the Shield would be coming down right past us. They came down on the other side of the building.
Oh, no.
It's like, didn't we set this up so we would be right where they would be coming? And then I guess we had looked at the seating chart wrong. So you got to see two of your favorite matches of all time in person.
Yeah.
Lucky.
I'm a little biased to them.
Yeah, I would be too. I think the best match I ever saw in person was Johnny Nitro versus Triple H.
Ooh.
It was actually the night that Johnny Nitro became Johnny Nitro. I forget what name he had been using prior to that, but yeah, it was the night he became Johnny Nitro.
Oh yeah, good times with him. Good times with him. Still great times with him. I mean, dude is still rocking it out there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I was just watching Survivor, and he was on this season. And...
Yeah. No, I think there's something to pro wrestling live too. I really do. It makes you take, you know, the atmosphere takes an okay match and makes it a good match. Takes a good match and makes it a great match. I think it takes a great match and it makes it a classic. And it makes one that, you know, you have a special connection to that you don't normally have with a wrestling match, you know, in order to say I was there. I mean, and it kind of goes back to what Mick Foley was talking about when he went to see, you know, Superfly dive off the cage in 83, about how like that night changed his life and that night made him want to be a pro wrestler. I do think there's something to that. I think going to the show just alters how you feel about it in the best way possible because you're there with thousands of other people that are just like you. And yeah, you know, you may like Kurt Angle and the guy next to you hates him, but you're going to have fun, you know, joking with each other all night. And it really does elevate.
What area, I know you live in California, what area do you live in and what's the independent scene out there like?
I live in your area. Fresno and Bakersfield. So that's kind of the general area between Fresno and Bakersfield. As far as I know, and I've been researching more and more, we have two independent wrestling promotions right here in Fresno. We have Lucha Extreme, which is half Spanish, half American Lucha Libre style. And then we have, what's it called? Best of the West Wrestling, which actually their champion, Chris Bay, was on Impact Wrestling when they were in Vegas as a jobber in a tag team match. But he's their current heavyweight champion.
Oh, nice.
And then outside of that, of course, you know, Cali rocks. There's, you know, L.A., San Francisco, they're buzzing. Bar Wrestling's out here, which is where Brian Cage comes from. That's down in L.A. There's Championship Wrestling, which is now an NWA affiliate or partner. And Cody Rhodes actually defended the NWA title when he was champion at Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. So we get around a little bit out here, but not as much as the East Coast.
Yeah, actually, in where I am, I'm right between – I'm a little bit north of Cincinnati, and obviously Dean Ambrose came from my area. Carl Anderson actually got his start training down here. So I think Cincinnati is a very underrated area for professional wrestling.
Oh, I agree. Well, Ohio, Ohio in general has been growing a lot, especially especially with the exposure of certain stars. Like you mentioned, Ambrose, Sammy Callahan. Really starting to show off what Ohio has in the works up there.
Yeah, I've actually met Sammy Callahan a couple of times, and when I first met him, he was about 260 pounds. So he was, obviously the same height, but he was probably about 100 pounds heavier than he is now, maybe. He was a short, stocky, fat kid from here in Cincinnati, and it was like, and one of the promoters for one of the companies I used to go to said he'll never make it anywhere.
I think at one point that may have been true. I've been keeping up with Impact Wrestling quite a bit as, something to do on Thursday nights, and then been really enjoying the recent product. But when he came on the scene, even with OVE, they got a lot of boring chants, a lot of boos, until he broke Eddie Edwards' face with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
And, now he's a totally, I wouldn't say a totally different character, but he's reinvented his reputation as a guy who, will do what needs to be done. And his death matches, whether it's Jimmy Havoc or Pentagon Jr., whoever he's with, he's really bringing a new level of violence that, had this debate with someone the other day, he really couldn't have brought to WWE when he was Jeremiah Crane. It's a new level that PG won't allow. And he kind of pushes that envelope, and it has created a bit of a monster, but in a good way for him.
Oh, I totally agree. He calls himself the draw, and I really think he is. I think he is a major draw in professional wrestling right now. And I hope that success continues for him.
Yeah, I think there's big things between what he's doing in Impact. He's going to translate that into a big contract either there or somewhere else. I hope, based on what they showed with the Twitch special last week, I kind of hope that they funnel some more effort and energy into his wrestling promotion there in Ohio as well. It's Rockstar Pro.
Yeah.
And because, they've got some guys with potential, and the whole this Ohio mentality that they're broadcasting with OVE and himself and a few others that are, the Ohio area natives, including Jake Crist's wife, Nevaeh, who was on the special. It really brings a different kind of attitude that you wouldn't think of with Ohio.
Right. Absolutely. And for somebody who was involved in professional wrestling for a short amount of time, relatively short amount of time, I was a ring announcer, and then I transitioned over to being a manager. I was only for about 3.5 years. That attitude pretty much all over the Southwest Ohio area. That is a fairly common attitude that we all have. We really do think that Ohio is the best, as I'm sure a lot of people think their state is the best place for wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, I know every state's got their, you know, their big time, their flagpole brand, if you will. I know for a long time, you know, Georgia was very, you know, WCW was the flagpole. And, you know, some people still refer to WWE as New York, you know, back from the old territory days.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's one of those things. You got to be proud of what's in your state. You got to support them. You got to get out there and watch some pro wrestling, watch some live pro wrestling. And, you know, because you never know. You never know. Back when I was watching Brody King out here at Best in the West, I was like, dude's scary. Dude's got tattoos. He's big. He's a monster. And I was like, man, maybe one day Brody King will be something. And then I think it was a week or two ago, he just signed a major contract with Ring of Honor and debuted at Final Battle as part of the Villain Enterprises with Marty Scurll and PCO. And, you know, I was able to say, yeah, I saw him 4 years ago, little old Madera, you know, California, just a little old place, middle of nowhere. So, I mean, if there's one thing I would tell people, it's you find your local pro wrestling, go out there, support it. You know, it's $5-$10 to get in. Have some fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And actually, there's a guy that I have been watching for the last 2, maybe 3 years who trained out here. He just recently moved out to your area. He actually got recruited by Championship Wrestling from Hollywood to move out there to start working. So,
who's that one?
What's that?
Who's that guy? What's his name?
His name is Jordan Clearwater.
Okay.
He's a young kid. Yeah, do that. He's a young kid. He's only 24 years old. I think he's got a very bright future. He was trained by the same person who trained Carl Anderson, Abyss, Jillian Hall. So I think he's got a bright future ahead of himself.
Sure's got some pedigree to follow there.
Yeah. So, are you attending any WWE or other shows coming up in the near future or even distant future?
Well, I just missed the one in my hometown. This past Tuesday, they did the doubleheader taping for the holidays. And unfortunately, work prevented me from going. But I hear it was, well, I saw SmackDown, of course, after I got off work. And I want to apologize to everybody for Fresno. I'm sorry. The crowd was fairly dead most of the night, and I'm afraid that's what you're going to get on Christmas Day as well if you watch SmackDown. The fans here are very, very, to borrow a phrase from Daniel Bryan, they're fickle. They like what they like.
I knew you were
going to
say that.
Well, they are. The biggest pop of the night was when he said they were number one in pollution for the entire state, which, man, that's embarrassing. Why are you cheering that?
Yeah.
But
that weird thing to cheer.
Yeah, and just standing in line before shows in the past, you talk to people, and like the most over wrestler from today is Randy Orton. A lot of people in line can't tell you if it's a Raw show or a SmackDown show, but they'll be the first ones to tell you that it's unfair Fresno hasn't had a pay-per-view since 2005, 2006. But yet when the house shows come around, or excuse me, the live events come around, the Save Mart Center is about two-thirds full. When the tapings come around, they sit on their hands until they try to chant CM Punk or you tell them their town sucks. We don't really show up as well as we did in the 90s. I don't know if people know this, but the night that they introduced Mike Tyson as the guest ref or the guest enforcer for WrestleMania, that was in Fresno. That night where Tyson and Austin going at it in the ring and the crowd is screaming and yelling, that was in Fresno. And I was in that crowd. And it was the hottest thing live. It was the hottest thing on TV. And if you watch this past Tuesday, it was an hour and a half of silence. And it's because a lot of our fans either, a lot of the people who go in this area either aren't keeping up with the product or they want the Attitude Era. They want, 15 tables broken in a night. They want a chair shot to the head every 5 minutes. And I've watched droves of people walk out of the arena when 205 Live started after a SmackDown taping. I was able to move from, section 200 in the upper deck all the way down to ringside for a 205 Live taping because people left. It's just, and I'm guessing because of the doubleheader taping, they kind of did the same thing. I mean, I've seen some pictures of the second show. Thanks, Twitter, for spoiling everything for me. But I've seen some pictures of the second show. The arena had huge empty gaps in the crowd. That's Fresno. And I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry that this area is like that. But our people that are here, I don't know. Like they go to wrestling, but they don't go to experience wrestling anymore. And I apologize that it comes off that way on TV, but unfortunately, and maybe fortunately for the rest of the wrestling universe, there won't be a pay-per-view in this area, for quite a while. The last one before 2005 was the 96 Royal Rumble. And so we don't get them very often, but we kind of don't deserve them.
Uh-huh. So before we run out of time, is there anything you want to plug? Any podcast, blog?
Absolutely. I currently write for dailyddt.com, mostly Impact stuff when I get on there. I'm taking a bit of a break this week, but next week, of course, I've got my year-end awards and stuff going on there. And then, of course, there's our little podcast family, the Turnbuckle Topics podcast family. There's the Rundown hosted by Ron and Linz every other Thursday. There is the Champions Advantage pod every Tuesday morning. And my podcast is every Friday morning. It's the Bearded Impact podcast. I cover Impact Wrestling every week, week in and week out, because, frankly, I didn't see anybody else doing it. Everybody else was doing WWE podcasts. I got an Impact podcast out now, and I will have an independent wrestling podcast coming out after the first of the year. Just a weekly kind of recap looking at things that had happened over the week outside of everybody's normal viewing habits.
That sounds extremely interesting. That actually sounds like something I would be interested in checking out. So we're about out of time. I want to thank you again for being on the show, and I would love to do this again. You've been an awesome guest.
Thank you. Yeah, I would love to do it again.
So maybe we can do this again around the Rumble or around WrestleMania.
Yeah, awesome. Oh, either one.
So,
great. I love both.
I'm sure we'll keep in touch on Twitter, and we'll work something out for the future.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Have a good night.
You too.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Crispin Hero. Like he said, you can check him out on his podcasts and on his blogs. And I'm about out of time, so I want to thank Chris again for being on the show. And this Friday, I will be back on the air at 11:30 Eastern with a review of WWE Week on USA Network. I will be recapping all of the action. I won't be talking about Friday because I'm not going to talk about movies. So be sure to join me this Friday, 11:30, to talk about WWE Week. Have a good night, everybody.